the Warner Brothers Pictures Shield logo, a Time Warner Entertainment company. An astronomer studies a galaxy through a giant telescope.
Sam, we're getting straight gammas every half pulse at irregular intervals.
Let's move to right ascension 23 hours, 5 minutes.
Sam, what the hell is going on out here?
Alpha Orionis is going supernova.
Sometime in the next 100 million years.
Thursday.
Excuse me?
Thursday. It's going supernova Thursday.
Sam, if Alpha Orionis were about to go supernova, there would be silicon flashes.
Yes.
Neutrino emissions. Even in daylight, we would be able to see. You predicted this?
He sees the flashes himself on a monitor.
Excuse me, Sam, I know you're busy, but it's almost noon.
Noon? Carl, it's almost noon.
It's noon, everybody! Let's go! Let's get in position! Let's go!
Sam hurries up a metal scaffolding tower, which is moved around the observatory as the telescope arm is repositioned.
What are you doing?
The observatory has a white domed roof.
You're pointing the damn thing down!
Professor, there's this other phenomenon that Sam gives his priority to at noon.
Other priority? Now?
Every day.
What could be more important?
Actually, Professor, this event isn't strictly celestial.
Sam has climbed up to a viewing platform and looks through the telescope's single eyepiece. The telescope picks out an American flag flying in a green field by a small country school and zooms in on Sam's pretty blonde wife Linda, who's playing a skipping game with her young pupils. Sam's colleagues watch on a monitor as Linda checks her watch, then turns and waves at Sam with a big smile. Some of her pupils join her and wave also. Linda blows a kiss, and Sam's lips curve into a smile as he adjusts the focusing. Linda talks to the kids, who scamper off, and she signals, "Call me," to Sam. Later, brown-haired Sam approaches the school and leans against a fence post, watching his wife sitting in the sunshine, surrounded by her pupils. Linda, who's wearing a pretty white summer dress, waves off the school bus and comes running across to Sam at the fence.
What is it? What's up?
She kisses him.
Remember I told you they were going to pick a teacher to represent the district at the school in New York?
Oh, New York? You?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Sam, come on, don't look at me like that.
It's only 2 months. It's not like I'm going to the moon.
Well, 2 months is a long time.
You could come.
You know I can't.
You could. You could take off work. You just never want to get out of this town and see the possibilities.
Everything I want to see is right here. You, the sky.
Sam, I went to school in that building right there. I hung upside down in this jungle gym. In 20 years, I haven't moved an inch.
I fell in love with you on this jungle gym.
Sam, you know how much I want to do this. But I love you. So if you tell me to stay, I'll stay.
Stay.
Linda's at the window of a small aeroplane, waving to Sam, who's standing next to his red pickup truck by the runway. The plane taxis down the runway, and Sam chases alongside it in his truck, desperate for a last glimpse of Linda. She gazes out of the window and Sam gives her a big wave. She waves back with a smile and the plane takes off, leaving Sam behind. Sam continues to drive along and gives a final salute out of the window. Meg Ryan, Matthew Broderick, Addicted to Love. From the observatory, Sam homes in on a patch of grass in the school playground at the appointed hour. Linda's not there. A little girl appears and gives him a sympathetic wave before running off. Sam gets home in his truck as two workmen are hanging a big Welcome Home Linda sign across the road between two trees.
Here we go! Hoist it up!
Gotta be higher! Much higher!
Higher! Okay then!
Sam gives a thumbs up and drives on to his large, pleasantly decorated house. In the kitchen, he has unpacked fresh bread and white roses and is putting some champagne on ice. Linda's grey-haired father is sitting quietly at the dining room table, watching Sam fiddling with a vase of white blooms. Sam turns round and sees him.
Mr. Green, what are you doing here? I was just on my way to the airport.
Come here, Sam.
Linda? Is Linda all right?
Sam, listen to me. Love can sometimes be a very difficult thing. Listen up.
A letter.
Dear Sam, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done. I'm sorry I don't have the courage to do it face to face. I never planned this, Sam.
Mr. Green, what is this?
Well, she left you. I'm reading her Dear John to you. It's not you, Sam. How can I make you understand? Your life is set. You have your stars and your friends and the town, but I feel like I'm just finding out what mine is.
Sam starts packing.
Oh, Sam, so many emotions are surfacing as I write this.
Where is she, Mr. Green?
Well, she thought it would be best if you didn't talk for a while. Let me finish this up, okay? You're my best friend in the world, Sam. So you must know that this is the way I am. I can't help it. It's my nature. It's true, son. She's nuts. Where are you going? I'm not finished. The best part's coming up.
Sam runs out of the house with his rucksack. Now he's running upstairs off the subway and onto the crowded streets of New York. He gets out a map and bumps into a passerby. Skyscrapers loom overhead. Sam sees a big clock tower. It's 12 o'clock. Traffic zooms past the famous Flatiron building. Sam gets to the Minetta Lane School and rattles a locked gate. He shows a hotel concierge Linda's photograph.
No. Would you mind just checking?
No.
A woman who is also at the reception runs out after Sam.
Thanks.
Hope I'm doing the right thing here.
You are, I assure you.
Yeah, sure.
A barman writes down Linda's address for Sam, who heads down a narrowish street with tall buildings on either side of it and locates the apartment block. He gains entry as a woman with a baby buggy is leaving and heads up to an apartment on an upper floor. Outside Linda's door, he tries to spy through a peephole into the apartment, but gives up and presses the bell. He glances round the hall, then tries the bell again. The bell button stays depressed even though Sam has removed his finger. He tries to free the button, but to no avail. A man comes out.
Honey? Oh! Is your problem here?
Who is it?
Sam was hiding behind the open door and wasn't spotted by the angry Frenchman. It's dark and Sam is standing in the road outside the apartment looking up at Linda's window. A motorbike roars by and nearly hits him. The bike stops and the rider looks back at Sam before roaring off again. Sam gazes up at Linda's window, then spies some scaffolding outside the apartment block opposite. He goes up the steps and finds a graffitied door which has been padlocked shut. Sam glances over his shoulder and spies a metal cellar door. He goes down and lifts the lid. He falls down some steps into a dark space filled with junk and debris. He picks himself up and makes his way over another pile of junk to an old wooden staircase which he climbs up. Some of the stairs are rotten and give way. Clinging to the banister rail, he hauls himself up and up the stairs. Sweating with effort, he finally comes to a room with a view into Linda's boyfriend's apartment. She's sitting at her kitchen window looking out. Sam falls through rotten floorboards, but manages to hang on and peers through a tear in the cloud of laminate that covers most of the window he's looking through. Sam sees the Frenchman come up to Linda and put his arms around her. She pulls him close. The screen fades to black, leaving the lovers framed by an ever-decreasing circle. The circle opens out, again revealing Sam in the broken-down apartment. It's morning, and he's watching the lovers through binoculars and charting their activity.
Yeah. Oh,
Okay. Morning, everybody. Morning, Linda. Morning, Tarzan. We are 6 minutes later than yesterday. That's six. Carry the two. Good.
He marks the change on a chart and lifts his binoculars.
Ah, there. See that? Medium smile, no teeth. Don't forget the vase. Gotta get it perfectly centered. There. No. No. There. No. Good. Yeah. One more, why not?
Linda stops him fiddling.
Annoying, isn't it, honey? Yeah. Ah, yeah. Grin all you want, monkey man. All you are is just a passing meteor shower. You'll be gone soon enough. I feel sorry for you, you poor bastard.
He eats a chocolate bar. Sam walks through the shell of the building, which has some walls missing. Wearing a cap and jacket, he dons gloves and slides down the cable with an old elevator shaft like it was a fireman's pole. He spies on Linda at her school and calls his colleague from a phone booth.
Hey, Carl. It's me, Sam. No, calm down. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm still in New York. No, we're great. We're great. Linda's very happy. Yeah, we may stay a while. But we're very busy. There's lots to do. Listen, Carl, I need you to sell my truck. Whatever you can get for it, it doesn't matter.
I'm a little short of cash right now.
The motorcyclist who nearly ran Sam over stops at lights and sees him at the phone booth. The bike roars off.
No, I'm still here. Listen, Carl, there's something else I need, and Professor Wells doesn't have to know about it.
In the grimy apartment, Sam opens a big cardboard box marked Fragile and takes out some parts that, after doing a preparatory sketch, he constructs into an old-fashioned-looking camera obscura. The camera has a convex lens so that Sam can magnify and project a movable image of what's happening in the apartment opposite onto a wall in his apartment. The wall acts like a cinema screen. When he's finished, Sam stands back and gazes at the large image of lovely Linda on his wall. She's laughing at something Anton the Frenchman is saying to her. Sam pretends he's talking to her and that she's smiling for him alone.
Hey, Linda. How you doing?
She sits down with a glass of wine.
Hey, you want to hear something funny? I saw this on the news before I came out. Fainting goats. I'm not making this up. There's this breed of goats. I don't know why, but they faint at the slightest thing. Like if they hear a loud noise or a gun goes off, boom, they just black out, fall right over, one after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. See, I thought you'd like that.
Linda giggles and Sam watches her affectionately. Later, he gets a roller and a tray filled with white paint and paints the wall behind the image of the apartment opposite. The image of Linda herself becomes brighter and clearer with each painted-in stroke, her golden hair gleaming as she watches television, facing the windows under the apartment's modern bright lights. Unaware she's being watched, Linda uses the remote to turn off the television and slips off her silky dressing gown, leaving it on the carpet before heading into the bedroom. Sam continues to paint in big strokes, following her progress until she disappears from view. The lights go out in their apartment. Sam's sitting at a wooden desk, working on a gadget by candlelight when he spots a cockroach on a piece of food. He tips the cockroach into a glass tank with others.
Come on, get off. Get off.
On his big cinema screen, Sam sees a naked Anton opening his fridge in the shadowy apartment. He takes out what looks like a big icing bag, samples its contents, then squeezes it all over his naked front before striding back off to the bedroom.
I don't even have a chart for that.
Sam goes after another cockroach. He tips it into the tank with others, then sits up on his haunches and looks up at the makeshift cinema screen. An intruder with a motorcycle helmet on and a torch is creeping through the apartment, taking a look around. Sam watches. Frowning, Sam runs to the window and looks across at the other building. He can see the glimmer of the torch as the intruder moves around the apartment. The intruder steps closer to the window and seems to be looking across the street. Later, the intruder leaves the apartment block opposite and marches across the street in Sam's direction. He loses sight of the figure as it approaches the building, and Sam comes away from the window and looks around uneasily. He treads a little way down the ramshackle stairs, then sees a shadow over the skylight. Someone's on the roof. Sam quickly grabs a wrench as a weapon.
Hey, get away from here!
One of the skylights is kicked in.
Hey, I'm warning you! I have a gun!
A kickback and some wire cable is shoved through, and the intruder climbs through and jumps to the floor. The intruder pulls off the silver motorcycle helmet. It's a pretty woman with short textured blonde hair and smoky grey eyeshadow.
What the hell are you?
She takes out a light bulb and connects it to the electric cable. It lights up.
Whoa, what do you want? Who are you? Hey, excuse me, I asked a question. I live here, what do you want?
She spots the cinema screen.
I asked you a question.
She connects more bulbs and holds one up near the telescope.
Hey, don't touch that. Get away from that.
She rolls her eyes.
Hey, who the hell are you? What do you want?
Shh. They'll hear you.
Who? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your little Goldilocks and my ex-fiancé.
She prowls off around the space with a torch.
Hold. Are you saying that that guy did that thing over there?
Hey.
He readies the wrench as she turns to him.
What's your name?
Mike.
What's your name, Mike?
Sam.
Sam, I'm Maggie. I'll be staying here a while.
She picks up her kit bag and has a look over a railing with her torch before moving on. Sam looks over the rail too. Maggie opens a door into a side room. Sam follows her, carrying the wrench over his shoulder.
I sleep naked. It's the only way I'm comfortable. So don't think of it as a come on, because if you so much as breathe in my direction, I will nail your willy to that beam. Don't mess with my stuff. Don't get in my way. And I'm sure we'll get along fine. Nighty night.
Maggie's left her room and Sam goes in to investigate. Her stuff is piled up on a messy table. He looks through her toilet bag, pulling out a small compact, then looks through a satchel. He opens it and finds what looks like a small handgun. It's a water pistol. He dumps the water pistol back in the satchel and pulls out a Ziploc bag full of sweets. He drops them back in and leaves. He comes up to the apartment and the rickety cage lift and finds Maggie running cable to an aerial and stapling the cable to the ground.
What is all this stuff?
Bugging equipment? Cactus.
Bugging? What, like listening bugging? Bugging who?
Take a wild guess.
Why? Why would anyone want to do that?
Because I want to hear what goes on in there. Don't you want to hear what goes on in there?
No, I do not.
Why not?
Because that would be an invasion of her privacy.
Excuse me, Mr. Video.
That's not a video. It's a camera obscura. It's pure light.
I'm not spying. I just want to be with her.
Well, that's completely different.
Look, I know how you feel. You want to back so badly that you can't stand it. It's like your guts are twisting around inside. They're bugging their apartment. What?
I don't want him back. I just want him vaporized.
Extinguished!
When I'm done with him, he'll be just a twitching little stain on the floor.
Oh.
Is that what you're doing? You're waiting for her to leave him for you?
Absolutely.
Have you seen him?
He is irrelevant. Linda and I are soulmates. This is just a passing phase. They're gonna break up tonight. I know it for a fact.
I'm listening.
I'm an astronomer, all right? It's my job to find patterns in things that seem completely random.
Uh-huh.
Well, I found it. I found a pattern.
Mm.
It's all in the data.
The data? Oh, this data. Mutual feeding activity.
It's the number of times that Linda and what's-his-name feed each other.
You're counting.
No, not just that. Everything. Kisses, hugs, smiles, fights.
They fight?
No, not yet. Long looks, whispering, shouting.
They shout?
No. You're missing the point. Tonight, there's gonna be a fight. They are gonna break up, and I'm gonna be right here for her. Tonight, this'll all be over. So you might as well just start packing your bags.
Well, that is, without a doubt, the most pathetic thing I've ever...
You just don't understand.
I mean that in a trivial way. I'm a photographer. I've seen a lot of things. I once took pictures of a man who ate his own legs, and you would be the black sheep of that family.
Well, what is your evil plan, huh? You gonna squirt him with squirt guns? Throw rotten strawberries at him?
You looked in my satchel?
Yeah, call a cop.
You are a strange, tragic little man.
Say what you want. Linda and I are in love.
Yeah, except for her boning my boyfriend. You guys are the perfect couple.
Listen, Catwoman. At the end of the day, she is coming back to me, and we're gonna be happy. And where are you gonna be? All alone somewhere, hatching some little revenge scheme, that's where.
Let me tell you something, Sam. Listen very carefully. Are you listening?
Yes.
The only way that girl is coming back to you is if a blast of semen catapults her across the street and through the window.
She's fixing the aerial to the roof.
I want you out.
Not gonna happen.
I was here first.
Well, put me down for half the rent and get out of my face.
Sam picks up a plank and makes to smash the aerial.
Oh, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Why not?
You paid for it.
Sam drops the plank and checks his wallet.
You stole my money. You took everything I had to buy this crap.
That was everything you had?
And what the hell is that for, anyway?
It's pretty, Sam.
It's a cactus in a terracotta pot. Later, Sam watches Maggie switch on her listening device and sit back with headphones on. She's wearing a black leather bomber jacket with colourful patches on it.
There we go.
You can hear them?
Mm-hmm.
Are they talking?
Yeah.
What about?
You wouldn't be interested.
Let me hear.
It's wrong, Sam.
Just for a second. I just want to hear her voice, her sweet voice.
Beg me.
Please.
Excuse me, did you say something?
Please let me hear.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, he's killing her.
Yeah, he's killing her, all right. She's loving every minute of it.
No, she's not like that. She likes to make love quiet and slow and gentle.
That girl of yours is a carnival ride.
Well, this is horrible. This is horrible. This is worse than I'd imagined.
You want me to turn it off?
No, I need to hear it.
Very brave.
Oh, God.
The couple's out of view. Sam grabs hold of the rail and sways back and forth.
French. He's making love to her in French.
You know, Sam, French men are very small.
Yeah?
But not this guy. It's like Godzilla's tail. He could take down Tokyo with that thing. This has got to be the longest orgasm I've ever heard. Sam, you want your charts?
You enjoy this, don't you? You enjoy making me suffer.
Help me get him, Sam. Take the road less traveled. It'll make all the difference.
No. Forget it. I will not get sucked into your nightmare.
Okay,
forget
fine.
It.
Whatever. You know, I think I can get this in stereo.
Sam covers his ears.
Welcome to New York, spy boy.
She takes a photo of Sam. Later, she's sitting in her room, cutting out images to add to a colourful collage on her wall. She sticks one up. She picks up a Tupperware bowl full of snacks and takes them to Sam, who's working on his charts at his desk.
Slim Jim? Let's see what Ken and Barbie are having tonight.
She moves the camera so she can look into their kitchen.
Squab. He marinates it for half a day in a lemon wine sauce and he braises it with sugar.
Please be quiet. I have to concentrate. It's happening. It's happening tonight.
Oh, it smells delicious.
I'll tell you a secret.
What?
It's not my recipe.
It's not?
No. I met an old man in Brindisi in Italy, you know? And he said,
only prepare for the woman you love. Later I found out he made it for a party he catered. 500 people. He's just bursting with love. We should go to his restaurant sometime. Good food, good people.
Wait. Soak the sauce with a spoon.
Just let her eat it, you maggot.
Do you feel it?
Oh.
Mm. Is it satisfactory?
Mm. The best thing I've ever eaten.
Will you shut up?
I love to watch you eat.
No. No. She hates having people watch her eat. This is it. He's going down in flames. Here it comes.
Oh, you know? I heard the most amusing story. There is this, what are they called? The eat cats?
Sheep.
Sheep. Yeah, a breed of goats. And when they hear a sharp sound, they fall over.
A sharp sound?
Yeah, anything. Anything. You clap your hand and they fall over.
No.
They pass out.
That's my story.
They pass out when they hear a sharp sound.
No.
It's true. They just tip over and fall to the ground.
Really?
That's my kiss. That's my...
Anton and Linda start to make love on the table.
Ah, not the food.
There's sympathy in Maggie's gaze as she looks at Sam. He suddenly turns to her.
I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want. This has to stop. I don't care about right or wrong anymore. This must stop.
Anton is showing guests out of his restaurant, Le Coq.
All you gotta do is nudge him.
Just nudge him.
Yeah, just raise
it like that. Sam puts on shades and he and Maggie close in on Anton from separate directions. Maggie's wearing her motorcycle helmet and approaches Anton from behind. Sam walks into Anton and drops the newspaper he's holding. In the confusion, Maggie steals Anton's wallet, extracts a gold card from it and shoves it back in his pocket.
Sorry.
That's right, sorry.
Oh, sorry. You're sorry? Well, you should be goddamn sorry. You think you can trample on a person and just say you're sorry? Well, you can't. You can't trample on somebody's life and say, I'm sorry.
Please,
there ought to be something more you can say when you walk all over somebody and take what's his. And you throw food everywhere!
Sam punches Anton in the face. Sam runs off down the street. Maggie's waiting for him on the motorbike. Sam jumps on the back.
I think we took a little detour for the plan there.
I really can't tonight.
Yeah, you smacked him one all right out of the mail.
Great.
So, what is your plan? What do you want to do to him?
I just want his dignity, that's all. I want him penniless, hopeless, loveless, finished off. I just wish him ill, very, very ill.
How ill are we talking here?
I'm not saying I want him dead. But should that occur, people die all the time. Why should he be any different? Just thinking on my feet, though. I don't have to decide the death part right now. I can just wait, see how I feel once his dignity is a thing of the past. Am I boring you? Thank you, Anton.
She withdraws $500 on his card.
Maybe I shouldn't have hit him. He's just in love. He's just in love, the same as me.
Define love.
Why?
Because every other word out of your mouth is love. And I'd like to know what it is, this magical ideal of yours. Define it.
Well, it's like, I don't know, it's like... Like all your life, you walk around with this feeling of emptiness in your stomach. You feel completely hollow. And when you're in love, you feel not hollow.
They're at a hot dog stand.
It's like without it, there's nothing. A shell. A cavernous emptiness.
There you go.
Forget it. You can't define it.
When I was a kid, my father had this dog. It started to get all weak and sickly, so he took it to the vet. The doctor examines it and says a maggot must have laid eggs in the dog's butt. He says there's not much they can do. The baby maggots have crawled up, and now they've started to grow, and eventually they're going to eat the dog alive from the inside out. He says it should be put to sleep because it's an old dog anyway. But Father won't do it. He takes it home. He puts it on the bed. He starts to reach up into the dog, just picking out the maggots with his fingers one by one. It takes him all night, but he gets every last one. That dog outlived my father. That's love, Sam.
She bites into her hot dog, getting mustard on her lip.
You're not that tough, Maggie. I can tell you're not that tough. Then you can pretty much forget about a career with Hallmark.
She smiles. Maggie buys a ring on the card.
Won't he miss the card?
No, he won't know what hit him till the bill comes, because all he uses is platinum.
She puts on the ring and punches the air. In a florist.
Oh. I'll just take everything in this whole area. You know, Anton's having an affair.
He is?
Well, that's what Linda's gonna think.
Where are you sending?
To my Nana. The old battle axe should get a kick out of this. How much to put lipstick on the monkey?
Is that for you or for him?
John, I don't touch the monkey. I don't want to have anything to do with the monkey. I hate the monkey.
How's 40?
Well, for 50, I'd strap on a garter and wax your legs.
Put the lipstick, darling. Now, Granny, you can't be treating me this way. We've known each other too long.
You can't even look me in the eye.
Anton arrives.
What? You're in love? Oh, no! You're in love with Batman? Batman could never make you happy. Don't go, Granny.
The monkey jumps on Anton.
Granny, here is that one!
Maggie takes snaps. Anton manages to get the monkey off and acknowledges the street performer's crowd.
Yeah, okay, that's fine, that's fine. That's fine.
Back at their base, Maggie, who's wearing a low-cut tie-dye dress, is doing some printing with an ink block for her wall collage and swigging liqueur from a bottle. Sam's at his desk fixing a gadget with a lens.
Hello, sweetheart.
Okay. Here we go. The target's home.
They watch Linda and Anton on their makeshift cinema screen.
What did they know about the restaurant business, huh? Are we back?
Yeah, we're almost back. Hey, why don't we forget about the Hamptons and spend the weekend in bed?
There, that look. The look there. She sees it.
No, 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 no. Stay with her. No, no, no. Go back to her, Sam.
Take it easy.
Stick to her.
Shh. Relax.
Anything you want to tell me?
Turn it up, I can't hear them.
I'm walking through Washington Square and there's this stupid man, you know, some guy with a monkey.
A street performer?
A street performer. A son of a bitch, yeah? The monkey jumps on me and it won't get off my back, you know?
You're kidding.
No, no, I'm not kidding. The people all around, they are laughing, ah, ha, ha, oh, ho, ho, you know? And the monkey is kissing me. I think he peed on me, it stinks.
What are you laughing at?
Laughing
what is she laughing at?
This is a 300.
Why is she laughing?
Shirt, you
know?
I don't know.
Yes.
Maggie chucks things at the screen as Linda and Anton make out.
It's going very well, don't you think?
Drink up, buddy, because tonight we're going in.
A taxi.
Here they go.
You want to go to the Long Island Railroad?
Entering the apartment.
Idiot never even changed the lock.
Maggie's wearing flying goggles. Sam follows her in. They look around the modern, white-painted apartment.
It's so much smaller than it looks on TV.
Maggie puts down her keys and takes off her goggles and leather jacket. She's wearing a grey feather boa to complement the patchy red velveteen dress. She points at their window and shimmies for the camera. Maggie takes off her red knickers. Sam sniffs Linda's jumper.
Linda.
In the couch.
What?
In the couch. Don't make it obvious.
You're kidding.
Just do it.
Well, why are you wearing?
Authenticity.
She throws her knickers to Sam, who tucks them under a sofa cushion. Maggie drops a glass as she's getting some wine. Sam knocks some CDs onto the floor and puts one on. Maggie pours him a glass of white. Maggie tucks a receipt under an armchair cushion. Maggie has knocked some books off a shelf as she tries to stuff receipts between them. She shoves receipts among shelves of paperwork and then looks up at a collection of framed paintings and photos on the wall. One is of Anton. Maggie grabs a couple of wood ornaments from a shelf and talks to the photo.
My.
Sam's in the bathroom smelling Linda's toiletries. Oh. Maggie looks at clothes hanging in the wardrobe. Sam rubs Linda's blusher brush over his cheeks and picks up a bottle of her eau de toilette. Maggie goes through an underwear drawer and Sam hugs an armful of Linda's toiletries to him. Sam puts the toiletries down and Maggie finds a patterned dress bundled at the bottom of a black bag.
Mine.
Sam sniffs Linda's body bath scrubber, then spies Anton's toiletries.
Mine.
Anton's hairbrush.
Perfection. Yes?
Sam dunks it in the toilet.
Voila.
Maggie finds a box in the cupboard. Sam has found Anton's sarong.
Oh, this is comfortable.
Sam pretends to be Anton. Maggie finds photos in the box. One is of her and Anton.
It's what you wear when I walk about. With everything swinging freely.
Maggie finds Linda's white dress. Sam wears Anton's vest.
Look at me, I am so fabulous. I am so beautiful. Witness my matted chest hairs. They are nice, no?
Reflected in the mirror, Sam sees a blonde-haired woman in a white dress that looks like Linda. He turns and sees Maggie in Linda's summer dress.
What do you think?
You look... You... You...
They walk towards each other, Sam wearing Anton's vest and sarong. He runs his hand down Maggie's front, stroking the dress. Maggie strokes his vest and the pair draw closer. Maggie holds up a framed snapshot that Anton and Linda have taken of themselves.
Look at this.
Maggie and Sam try and pose just like Linda and Anton in the picture, holding the photo up as if it were a camera and resting their heads together. They swap sides for added authenticity and end up cuddling cheek to cheek. Their playful contact leads to some touching and stroking, and they end up sharing a kiss. Their kiss deepens and they wrap their arms around each other, pulling one another close as they continue their embrace. Maggie drops the photo. Continuing to kiss, they move backwards towards the bed and fall on top of it in a tangle of limbs. Sam rolls on top of Maggie, who helps him strip off Anton's vest. Then Maggie climbs on top of Sam in the white dress. An image of the darkened apartment appears on the screen back at their base, and the sound of their lovemaking are tapped and transmitted to the empty apartment opposite.
I love you, Linda.
You,
next morning, Sam is sprawled out in Anton's bed. Maggie dumps his clothes on the bed and grabs the pillow.
I gotta make the bed.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Sure. Right. Yeah.
Maggie's back in her own red dress. She hangs Linda's white dress back in the cupboard as a sheepish-looking Sam pulls on his trousers. He glances over his shoulder at her.
Maggie,
Can you go clean up the kitchen? Because we really should get out of here.
Well, I think we should talk.
Nothing to talk about.
Well, yes, there is. Something happened. I would like to talk about it.
Nothing happened, Sam. Okay? Nothing happened.
Look, I know what you're going through. I'm going through the same thing.
Get this straight, pal. I am not like you. I don't care what you're going through. And frankly, if I thought you and I were alike in even the most trivial way, I would tie a rope around my neck.
Sam stares at her, hurt, then gathers up his shoes and the rest of his clothes and goes into the lounge. Maggie concentrates on making the bed and doesn't look at him. Once dressed, Sam sweeps up the broken glass in the kitchen. He glances up at Maggie, who's standing by Anton's bookshelf. She turns away to tidy the books, then turns back and gazes awkwardly at Sam.
I'm sorry.
Sam stands up and empties his dustpan. Maggie tidies up some of the books she knocked over the previous evening. Sam approaches, his shoulders slumped.
Last night wasn't us, Maggie.
I know. I'm glad you know.
Maybe we should just, I don't know, call it a day.
You know what's gonna happen to her, Sam? He's gonna make her feel like she's the only woman in the world. And when he looks at her, it'll be just like a little kid looks at a Christmas tree all lit up and shiny. And for the first time, she'll feel like she's really been seen and really loved. And then 3 weeks later, she'll find a pair of panties in the couch, and then she'll learn that she was just a stepping stone, that he was just using her to get a visa. It'll change her, Sam.
Maggie sits, looking morose. Sam moves closer.
I understand. You know what's always bothered me? I can't see the side of her face. Come here. I can never see the left side of her face when she's standing here in the kitchen because of these things in the window. So help me move this over a little bit.
Okay.
They move a sideboard a few inches.
Good.
A little more. Good.
Sam walks past Anton's restaurant and sees a dishwasher wanted sign in the window. He goes into the closed restaurant and finds Anton eating at the bar counter, chatting to the barman. Anton's and chef's whites.
I saw the sign about the job.
Hey, hey, I don't want to have salt check on the table. You go and refill it immediately.
Pardon?
Tout leur apprendre, hein?
Excuse me?
Nothing here for you, go. Alors?
But why?
Why? Do I need a reason in my own restaurant?
Of course not.
I don't like your face, that's why. Just go.
Sam is on his way out when he spots a vase out of alignment on one of the freshly laid tables. Sam aligns the vase with the others, fully aware that Anton can see him in the mirror behind the bar.
Wait. Why did you do that?
Why did I do what?
The flowers, why did you move it like that?
I wanted them to be in the middle of the table.
Why?
Why? Because it was just something that I had to do.
Perhaps at heart you seek perfection, huh?
Yes, perhaps I do.
The rest of the staff stare. Sam is mopping up in the restaurant after hours. Anton's finishing up for the night.
Almost done, huh?
Anton puts on his jacket.
Almost. Good. Good work, huh? Why don't you stop for a moment?
Sam wrings out his mop as Anton lights a cigarette.
I know who you are. Took me a little while, but I figure it out. Yeah. Dry off your hands.
Anton punches him in the face.
Oh! Was you who attacked me that day, huh? Couldn't see your eyes, but I don't forget a face. You didn't put an address down on your application. Why? You're homeless, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm...
That's okay. Don't be ashamed. You know, I was hungry myself once. And I would see a rich man, and I envied. I would want to strangle him. But that's not the way I found, you know? You must better yourself. Don't be ashamed. Give me your hand. Come on. Come on.
He helps Sam up.
I like a man who fights for what he wants. But if you ever mess with me again, I'll rip out your eyes and rape your skull. Excuse my French. It was a good punch, huh? Solid.
Ha, ha. It was nice.
So you did all his dishes, then you got punched in the face. What was your thinking there, Sam? I feel that I'm missing something here.
Well, I'm not really sure.
What was your plan?
No plan. I just wanted to face him. I wanted to be in the same room with him, to talk to him. In my mind, he was like a god.
Now what do you think?
Well, it's not like he's god anymore. He's more like a volcano god or a sea god, you know? One of those sub-gods. Maggie, I think he likes me.
They're setting up a shower on the roof.
One thing, though?
Yeah?
He said something about having sex with my skull.
Says that to everybody. Don't worry about it.
Maggie makes to undress.
Oh, sorry. Well, I don't like the sound of it. I just don't like the image that it conjures.
I can't honestly say I blame you, Sam.
She turns the shower on. Sam fills water pistols with perfume and hands them to kids in a park.
So I let go with my hands, and I fell off the top of the jungle gym, face first, and I broke this tooth here, right in half. So I'm laying there on my back, blood all over my face, kids are yelling, the teachers are freaking out, and I look up, and there she is. She's just looking down at me with this worried little smile on her face, and I swear to God, when I saw her, the pain just went away.
Once I took pictures of a bunch of ducklings who imprinted on a gardener in the park. He was the first thing they saw. They thought he was Mama. They used to chase him around all day while he drove around on his lawnmower. Quack, quack, quack.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. It's like she's branded on my brain.
Yeah, well, what happened to this guy is that one day, he forgot the ducks were there. He put the mower in reverse, chewed him to pieces.
Don't you know any happy stories?
There he is.
They turn round to see Anton saunter into the park. Kids armed with Sam's water pistols and bribed with dollar bills from Maggie swarm around Anton to spray him with a perfume mixture. Anton tries but fails and keeps him at bay while Maggie snaps photos from a distance. Finally, Anton flees. Later, Maggie and Sam watch as Anton explains.
Midgets coming out of the blue. I have to protect myself with one of them.
Midgets coming out of the blue?
Yeah. Little children shooting perfume at me.
Perfume?
Yeah, from their guns.
Perfume from their guns?
Yeah, water guns?
Squirt guns?
Yeah, squirt guns, yes. Spooky, really strange. Wait, the lamp, I think, is burning.
Look at him trying to weasel his way out of it.
He didn't do anything, Sam.
Anton?
Yes?
Don't you think it's a little peculiar that little children would be shooting perfume at you?
Well, I thought it was something American kids do, a fad, I don't know. We should have a salad, it's refreshing.
It's very expensive perfume, Anton. I used to wear that perfume.
Good call, Sam.
Rich screen, New York.
They high five.
Last week, you had lipstick on your collar.
From the monkey, yeah?
From the monkey, yes. And now perfume, from squirt guns, from rich New York kids. I mean, what do you think the odds are of something like that happening to one person?
Odds? I don't know. Ask a mathematician. Ask your old boyfriend, the Milky Way man.
That's you, Sam.
What are you getting at? You're driving me crazy already.
Anton, I want you to promise me something. Just promise that if you were ever doing anything, that you would tell me.
Why are you even thinking of such a thing? Why?
We could work it out, okay? I mean, I just couldn't take it if you were lying to me.
Listen, sweetie. Why would I have sex with a hamburger when I can make love to a steak?
Oh!
Just promise.
I promise. No, no.
The camera follows them.
She's this close, Sam. This close.
Much later, Sam observes the couple as they throw a dinner party. Anton's rushing around the table, refilling wine glasses. Linda sits in glum silence. Maggie joins Sam.
What did I miss?
I think we're getting to them. I definitely think that we're getting to them. Did you get the sweet and sour?
Of course.
Look, my darling, I wanted to show you how well my hands fit on top of my knees. And to give you a little
get away.
Kiss.
Get away from me, please. You are brute.
But I love you, my little lamb. I must have you. My love is throbbing at quite a fevered cadence. But a bit mad.
But you cannot have me. My love is reserved for another.
You cannot mend.
Yes, the Milky Way man.
No. Anyone but him. No, this is a man who can predict alpha cluster emissions. To him, I am nothing. A little teeny. And a worm is more little.
Yes, I love his emissions.
Thank
not
you.
Every man.
They dub dialogue as they watch.
Can be a Milky Way
No.
What will you do now?
Forlorn, I will roam the earth by myself, thinking of you, and pausing occasionally to have the sex with the scouses.
That's good.
Now be quiet about that, or I will make you eat another one of those pictures.
I like it. This is very good.
Look how I'm licking my fingers. You like it? I like it.
I like everything. I am French.
As Sam and Maggie share cheesy snacks on their sofa and watch Anton and Linda, their heads rest together. Sam's at work in the restaurant kitchen when Anton steps in.
I've been dining for one of these all night.
He takes out a cigarette.
Can I ask you a question, Anton?
Sure you can.
He lights up.
How do you like America?
Why do you ask?
Well, you're French. Do you ever miss it? Do you ever get lonely for your own country?
You know, I was never so much French since I've been here. You know Superman?
Yeah.
That's me. I'm Superman.
The chefs are amused.
And France was like Krypton. You know, on Krypton, everybody was Superman. You make a nice sauce, everybody make a nice sauce. You say hello to a nice woman with your French accent, and everybody says hello.
Hello.
But here on Earth, the moment I arrived, I knew this was a place I had special powers. I talk about my little town, and the bankers open their checkbooks and say how great, charming, and exotic you are, Anton. I could read the phone book to women, and they become hypnotized, wet as morning daisies. Here, I have these powers. Back home, I was nothing, but here, I'm Superman. Hip, hip, America! Hip, 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 land of freedom! Now, you're not French. But it's okay, you know, you still have opportunity in this country. Yesterday, he had no job, no future, but today, a step up. A little step, but a step, you know. Soon you can afford a place to live and get a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend.
No, really, he has a girlfriend. Pretty girl?
She's the most wonderful woman in the world.
Wow, she must love you a good deal.
You think women only want men for their money?
No, not just money, power also, and success. Don't fool yourself, dishwasher. They want a man who takes what he wants.
I don't think that's true.
Anton steps up to him.
Listen. My girlfriend was seeing a man when I met her. I took her back to my place, and I asked her about him very innocently, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, she had many wonderful things to say about him, how nice and devoted, how gentle he was. So I started to probe in very subtle ways about how strong, powerful, and successful he was. That was very good. In no time, we were lying together on my couch. I think she wanted me to force her away from him. You could see it in her eyes. She wanted the battle. She was crying too, but she was kissing me. Later, of course, she came like a rocket.
Sam breaks a glass.
Anton!
Don't worry about the glass. I won't charge you this time.
Anton, he's here.
Who?
Madison.
Madison, are you sure?
Look for yourself. Table 9.
Anton peers into the restaurant.
Oh, my God, it's him. Go.
Okay, I'll take care of him.
Anton smiles to himself. Maggie sits on the sofa watching Linda, who's alone in the apartment, sitting at the dining table, reading a newspaper. Maggie looks outside at the gloomy, wet street. Later, she knocks at a small window by the restaurant's kitchen sink. Sam opens it.
Did you bring him?
What I just did was the most revolting thing I've ever done.
Harold Matheson, a food critic for the Times.
Big step. Are you sure you're ready for this?
Yeah.
Anton.
Chat tonight. I want everything perfect, huh? Didier, I can see this is not good. And you, oh, dishwasher, you don't drop a dish tonight, huh? I want everything perfect for the bastard. Even for the pig.
He goes. Maggie pops up from her hiding place. She hands over a small paper bag.
I've created a monster.
In the restaurant, Matheson examines the label on his wine bottle, then beckons Anton to him.
You know, I asked your steward for a Chardon Blanc, and he brought me this. You have any idea how that happened?
I took the liberty, Mr. Matheson. It's from my private reserve.
You know, if I had a suspicious mind... I think you're trying to get on my good side.
Well, I thought you would enjoy the year.
I'd say that your little ruse is working very well, especially if you could locate another bottle.
A cockroach.
Well, certainly. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
We might find a bottle or two.
Well, enjoy your meal, Mr. Madison.
Excuse me. I've just come back from France. Whereabouts are you from?
The roach is on Anton's sleeve.
It's just Beaucaire, you know, it's just a small province in the south of France.
Oh, Beaucaire. I know, isn't that near Nîmes?
Huh?
Is that near Nîmes?
Excuse me?
Is that near Nîmes?
Yes. Yes, it's near there.
Dinah spot cockroaches scuttling across the floor.
Yeah, I remember. It's a little to the south and over the hill.
Yes, it is on the other side of the hill. It's a little south.
Oblivious, Matheson pops a fork full of food and a cockroach into his mouth and chews. Pandemonium breaks out as cockroaches scurry through the restaurant. They're everywhere. One falls off the leg of one of the diners. Anton looks ill. In the kitchen, Sam whistles and carries on dishwashing as the chefs panic. Anton appears about to leave as the diners try to escape the bar. Sam and Maggie walk home together. Maggie bends double to laugh, then sits on the curb, convulsed with titters. Sam and Maggie open a bottle of bubbly as they watch Linda, who tries to conceal a smirk as Anton explains what happened.
I'm Madison's face. What are you smiling about?
I'm sorry.
Slaves were fighting in his mouth, and it was going like this. Everything I have is in that restaurant.
That won't be okay. I have my job.
Your teacher's salary won't pay for the toilet paper here.
Well, that's because they don't pay teachers what they're worth in some parts of the world.
Linda, don't go there.
Do you mind if we don't have this discussion again right now?
Thank you, Anton.
Don't be angry.
I'm not angry.
She's angry.
What if they close me down permanently? What would you do?
What do you mean?
I mean, if I couldn't afford this nice place anymore.
Always find work. You can go back to modeling.
Yeah.
Model? He was a model.
Yeah. But what if I couldn't find work, you know? Then what? What would you do if I were poor? Poor?
Sam glances at Maggie and smiles.
Then I would sit out on the curb with you all day and sell pencils. And then when it got dark, we would crawl into our cozy little refrigerator box and make love all night, and then sew pencils again at sunup.
She's kneeling at Anton's side. He gets up suddenly.
Where are you going? Where's he going? What's he doing? Where's he going? Talk to me.
He's
Talk
getting
to me.
Something off of a shelf. Oh. Oh, no.
What? What? What is it?
It's a ring. Oh, no.
What does it look like?
It's a circle of diamonds with
a big, fat opal in the middle? Yeah, I'm familiar with it. What is that? What?
Maggie stands close to the large projected image of Linda and Anton.
Would you like to be my wife?
No!
Yes! No! 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 No!
Maggie beats the image. Sam smashes the camera. A forlorn Sam and Maggie sit on a park bench. The two of them raise bottles of booze concealed in brown paper bags to their lips and take a swig. They return home. Once inside their dreary makeshift home, they pause to listen. Sam picks up a piece of piping and hands it to Maggie.
Here.
Both armed, they step forward. Maggie peers down to see an elderly woman climbing the staircase.
Nana! Oh, so you found me.
Oh, well. I get 50 pounds of flowers delivered to my door, and I call the florist. And he gives me your name and this charming address, and the earrings and the perfume and the television set, for Christ's sake. What's got into your head, girl?
Too much? You didn't like them?
It's one thing not to call your mother for ages, but to hide from me for 2 months, you better be found lying dead in the gutter if you know what's good for you. What is that? Your tits look like hard little rocks.
Cut it out.
Nana spots Sam.
As for you, taking my little girl away from me.
She glares.
Come here now.
Sam walks towards her.
Oh.
She pulls him into a hug.
I'm Margaret's Nana. Oh, it's such a pleasure to finally meet you, Anton.
I'm very happy to finally be meeting you too.
Oh, come on. If we hurry, we can get you some vanilla custard at D. Roberti's before it closes. The spoon goes in right side up here. We weren't brought up in a barn.
Hey, Nana, you got something in your teeth right here. All right. Here, hand them to me.
Oh, you little bitch. Oh, dear, it's late. I think I better be getting home.
You have to go already?
Well, I've got a yoga class in the morning. First, I want to take your picture. Move in closer. Okay? Put your arm around her, Anton. Put your arm around her.
Sam does.
Maggie, don't make a face.
I'm not.
She always makes a face when you take her picture.
I do not.
Your pizza, just act natural. Why don't you give her a kiss, Anton? Uh-oh, it's my mistake. Don't be shy. Come on.
Sam kisses her cheek.
You can do better than that, Anton.
Yeah, Anton, you can do better than that.
Sam reaches towards Maggie and kisses her tenderly on the lips.
Did you see a flash?
Maggie gapes.
God, I hate these things. Come on, kiss.
Nana holds the camera up once more. Sam and Maggie kiss again, more passionately this time.
All right, Maggie, you take care of the check.
Maggie pulls away, a little taken aback, and nods. At a bus station...
Just spend the night with us.
Yeah.
Oh, in that bohemian hellhole?
How long were you in our bohemian hellhole before we got there?
Not very long. I just straightened up a little, listened to the radio.
The radio? What radio?
Oh, the radio.
What was on the radio?
Oh, some little radio play. I don't know. More like a soap opera. I'm ashamed to admit I even listened to this silly thing.
Well, what was it about?
Well, who cares? I want to hear more about the both of you.
I'm interested, too.
Oh, let's see. It was two characters. A French man and a girl. In the beginning, he's on his way home, and she's upset about something. And it turns out she thinks he's having an affair. And he says, I didn't. And she says, well, how do you explain this? And shows him some female undergarments she found on the couch and some other things he can't explain, and he denies it. And she says something about monkeys. I really couldn't follow that. And then there was silence for a bit, and then he confesses.
He what?
He confesses. He says he was seeing another woman, an investor or something. He was a little confused.
Come on, let's go!
Then what happened?
He starts crying and begging her to forgive him, and she says a certain four-letter word more than a couple of times and storms out. I didn't know you were so interested in this kind of thing.
Well, we listen to that show all the time.
Back home.
Put your fingers.
They hurry to re-erect the camera obscura. The image sharpens. They watch as Anton in his apartment runs to answer his phone.
Linda? Oh, God, no, I can't. I have a call. I'm waiting for a call. Shit. Oui, Linda, who is it? Linda?
Yes. Anton, I'm Mr. Green.
Who's that?
It's Linda's father.
How are you? Come on, can I offer you something? A coffee?
Anton, you hurt me very badly. All I asked for was honesty, and you betrayed me. I had hoped...
He removes his specs.
Oh, hell.
And punches him.
Whoa!
Wow. I can't believe it. We did it.
What?
We did it, Sam!
They high-five and hug.
All this time, and we weren't even here for it.
Yeah. So, what are you gonna do now?
Well, she left suddenly, right? So she probably went someplace familiar to the hotel where she was staying before.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
She picks up his coat.
So what are you waiting for, Sam? Go get her.
What, now?
Yeah, now. What's the matter with now?
Can't go now. What would it look like?
Who cares what it looks like? She's not thinking straight. She'll buy anything.
Well, what's the big hurry to get me out of here?
Hey, look. If you don't want her after all this.
Of course I do.
She throws his rucksack at him.
Whatever. It's your business. I still got some work to do, and no offense, but I really miss my privacy.
Well, I thought we could just take a minute to say goodbye. I mean, it feels kind of strange to not...
Sam gazes searchingly at the stony-faced Maggie for a moment. She stares unfalteringly back at him. Sam turns and walks away. Maggie, who's wearing a floral kimono, starts to walk off too.
You just have to wreck everything, don't you?
Are we done saying goodbye yet?
Yeah.
You're still here.
Sam nods and walks on down the stairs. Out on the street, he runs past Anton's restaurant. A notice on the door reads closed by order of the Commissioner of Health. Sam walks towards Maggie's hotel.
She does not want to see you. You are not welcome. You try and sneak in here again, and you're going to jail. Do you understand?
How dare you, you son of a... I rip your skull!
Anton sees Sam.
Oh, dishwasher! Hey! I knew it was you.
Anton, hi.
Is that any kind of greeting for your old boss?
How are you?
I feel wonderful. I've never been better. Every day's a holiday. Every night, the 4th of July.
Oh, good, good. Well, I better be going.
I'm lying. I feel terrible. I broke up with my fiancée. My restaurant is gone and I'm running out of money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't worry. Don't be sorry. Do you have a place yet?
No, not yet.
Good. You'll stay with me then.
Oh, what? No, why? Why? You don't even know me.
I know one thing, that last night at the restaurant, everyone is running around, even me. But I noticed you in your little room. You were not looking out. You were not staring stupidly like the rest. You just kept working like a rock. You're a good man, good friend. What's your name, by the way?
Mike.
Mike, I'm a nervous wreck. I'm not doing well on my own. I feel vivid, like somebody has thrown away a piece of me. How'd you say vid? When there is nothing inside something.
Hollow.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I feel so hollow. You'd be doing me a favor, really. Just one drink. I can't go back to that empty apartment by myself, you know. I will die. Please.
No. That's it. No more.
No! You must try this one next. The sexy little Margot from 83. I was going to give it to Madison to help wash down the bugs. Oh, Mike, I don't know how she found out. You know, I was going to tell this other woman goodbye anyway. I only slept with her to help the loan for my restaurant. It's not like I cheated, you know. And it was only once with this woman. And I hardly came at all, just a fraction of what I'm capable. I thought of Linda the entire time. If that can be twisted into something terrible, then I'm surely the only sane man in the world gone mad. Don't you think?
I really couldn't say, Anton.
He eats some food.
I'm going to get her back, Mike. She needs me. I have to get her back.
This is really good.
Across the street.
I'm sorry, it is.
Okay, time for bed. I have modeling work waiting for me tomorrow. Step down, yes, but Anton DePay isn't proud, you know. Look at my stomach. Look, I haven't gained a pound since my modeling days. You know, I'm going to be just fine, and you don't worry about me.
All righty. Well, I guess I better be moseying on then. You get your beauty rest.
No. I mean, please, a little longer. You know, the cream caramel is almost done, and I have a very nice wine from my friend. Yeah. You know, I'll be right back. Please, you wait there.
Sam sits back down and picks up a chicken leg. Once Anton has disappeared, he creeps over to the window.
Maggie, come to the window. Please, this wasn't my idea. Maggie, don't be angry with me. Maggie, look at him. How could I leave him? Maggie.
Sam looks round as Anton walks up behind him. The disheveled Anton kneels down beside Sam.
I haven't done this in years. How is it in English?
Our Father who art in heaven.
Our Father who art in heaven. My father.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed.
Hallowed be thy name.
hallowed to be that name.
Thy name.
Later, Maggie stands over Anton as he lies asleep in bed. She scrunches up three moldy strawberries in her hand and places them under his pillow. With a rapid move of her hand, she flicks their rancid juice at him. Anton sleepily licks his lips. Sam is sleeping on Anton's couch. Maggie kneels down beside him and stares at him until he wakes up.
Stay out of my business.
Sam turns and watches as Maggie stalks out of the apartment. Another day. Maggie is busy at work on her collage.
All right.
She puts slits into the paper with a knife, then stabs at it. She tears a photocopy of the Mona Lisa in half. In large white lettering, a section ripped from the magazine reads, "Fight." Sam walks up to Linda's school. He stands and watches her through the chain-link fence. She dances as she leads a group of children, all holding onto a rope around the playground. Sam turns around dejectedly as Linda passes him, but doesn't acknowledge him.
Sam? Sam?
He turns back as she stops in her tracks and rushes out to meet him. She throws her arms around him. The kids run around the couple.
You're here because of me? God, Sam, I can't believe you're actually here with me.
I can't either.
Oh, if only you knew what I'd been going through the last couple of days. God, listen to me, feeling sorry for myself. You know what I miss? I miss noon.
Me too.
Sometimes I look up and wave at the sky. Kids think I'm nuts.
I know.
Of course you do. You've been watching me through your telescope, all the way from Archer's Bluff. God, Sam, you're the best. How could I ever leave you? What was I thinking?
Why did you?
I don't know. I'm nuts. And that's what my father says.
That's not a real answer.
I know.
Later, they're in a park.
Why did I ever leave you, Sam? You're so generous and kind and honest.
Linda, you don't know everything about me.
Of course I do. You're my Milky Way man.
A distance away, Maggie watches unnoticed as Sam and Linda stare intently at one another. Linda sees the monkey jumping onto a suited guy.
Kiss me, Sam, please.
Sam gazes at his desperate ex-girlfriend, then moves in and kisses her gently, running a hand down her cheek. Maggie watches the smooching couple for a moment, then turns and walks away. Sam looks a little confused.
I got a stud.
She sticks out her tongue.
That I didn't know.
A colleague shouts to Linda.
Oh, God. I gotta go. Come to my hotel tonight, the Evangeline, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I'll be there.
Sam watches as Linda walks away. Later, he walks up to Anton's building.
Go to hell! Take anything you want! Don't forget the TV! And don't forget the sofa also! You follower! Fascist! How dare you unwrap your skull, you son of a...
Sam runs up to Anton's apartment.
Anton, what's going on?
Credit card bastards! They say I owe them thousands! I never use the card! Help me find my other shoe, because if I find my other shoe, I will be just fine! I have a nice little modeling job waiting for me with a nice little agency, and after I get my money, I'm going to go down and wave it in their disgusting credit card faces! You can't keep Anton the toe down! Because Anton the Pooh is going to be just fine!
Aha! Look at me now, you credit card bastards!
What?
What, a pimple?
Tell me it's not a pimple. It's not a pimple. Is it a rash or an allergy?
It's called a chronic angio, or it's from food or mold.
Like shad fish, I don't know, strawberries or... Strawberries.
I haven't touched any of... Oh, no.
ice or heat, ointment.
Look, 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 look.
He points to the red rash on his face. Maggie's watching.
There you go.
Anton collapses on the floor.
There you go, lover. Come on. That's what I want to hear.
Sam kneels beside the distraught Anton, unsure of what to do. He glances up at the window, staring directly towards the camera obscura and Maggie, who shifts a little guiltily, then reaches behind her and turns off the sound. Later, Maggie rides her motorbike along the street. Sam steps out into the road in front of her.
Hold it! Stop! Stop! We need to talk.
So how was your date with Linda? You two look cozy. I'm really happy it all worked out.
You were there?
You know I miss you, Sam. We were like girlfriends.
This isn't about him anymore, is it?
Who? Him?
He turns to see Anton.
You don't call me a hopeless romantic. I just need to let him out of my sight.
She rides off, splashing Anton.
Oh, man. Anton! Anton!
He nearly gets hit by a truck.
Where are you going?
Nothing worse can happen to me.
God.
I'm going to see her. I have to see Linda. This is very painful.
Well, maybe now isn't a good time. You know, you don't look your best.
What if she's seeing another man, Mike? What can I do?
Another man touching her hair, her hips, her pink panties. Oh, God, the pink panties. The one with the little... You think me pathetic, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Sam turns as he hears a bark.
With Linda, the worst moments of my life were the happiest I've ever known. She's someone who, even as the world was crashing around my shoulders, I had the most extraordinary times with her. Yet I only knew her a brief time. Your woman, how long do you know her?
A few weeks.
A few weeks? Her love comes swift and hard.
Oh, wait, not a few weeks, no, since we were kids.
You just said a few weeks.
I did.
Yes.
I said that.
Yeah, I didn't say you didn't.
But I did. I said that.
Yeah. How did you two meet?
Common interests.
When will I meet her?
Well, we're actually not together anymore.
You didn't get along?
No, we had a great time together.
And what drove you apart?
Another guy?
She loved another man.
No. She hates him. She hates his guts. Anton, I'm sorry. I have to go.
Hey, wait. You're not coming with me to see her?
You're on your own, sport.
Sam runs off. He turns back as he hears an approaching motorbike. The bike heads straight for Anton. Sam runs back and pushes Anton out of the way. The biker stops and removes the helmet.
What in the world are you doing? I didn't even come close to her.
Sam stares down into an open basement.
Anton?
Anton's hoisted out in the stretcher.
I'm so sorry, Anton. I'm so sorry.
Linda. Where is Linda?
It's all right, I'm here.
Linda!
Anton's put into the back of an ambulance. In the apartment across from Anton's, Maggie is mixing red paint in a shallow dish. She looks up as she hears a noise. Maggie peers out through the broken window and sees Sam helping Anton out of a taxi in the street below. Anton's upper body is encased in a plaster cast. Maggie sits down on the sofa. Sam helps Anton onto the bed. Maggie watches intently as Sam pulls off Anton's shoes. Sam moves towards the window and looks across at the apartment opposite. Maggie watches him wide-eyed, then reels slightly as he suddenly turns and walks off. The door to her apartment bangs open. Sam walks in.
I almost killed him, Maggie. I was trying to protect him from somebody who I thought was you, and I almost killed him. I broke his arms and his ribs. For what? For what?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Sam. Not that I'm ungrateful.
Stop it, Maggie. Just stop it.
Well, I was just curious about that.
This isn't about him anymore. This is about us, you and me.
What?
I love you, Maggie.
Oh, God, don't do this.
I do. I love you.
Sam, What are you doing?
I know you love me.
Sam, why are you saying that?
I know you love me. I
don't
know
do
it.
This, Sam.
You're crazy about me.
You should go home. You should just get on a plane and go.
I won't hurt you, Maggie. I swear.
Look, I am trying to be nice, and you... Okay. Okay. I don't love you, Sam. I don't have one iota of feeling for you whatsoever.
Then what were you doing this morning watching me and Linda, huh? He wasn't there. Why were you there?
It's none of your business anymore what I do or why I do.
It was me, Maggie. You were there watching me. Because you care about me. Because you have feelings for me.
She picks up a package.
You want to know why I was there, Sam? You really want to know? Pictures. Pictures of you and Linda. I told you I want him finished off. It doesn't have anything to do with you and me. I told you, stay out of my way.
Mike! Sam snatches the package.
That's it? That's what you want? That's what it's gonna take? Fine. Let's get it the hell over with then.
Sam walks out, leaving Maggie staring after him, mouth agape. Sam throws open the basement doors of the derelict building and storms resolutely across the street, clutching the package containing the photos firmly in his hand. In his apartment, Anton is scratching his chin against a pillow. Sam walks in.
Oh, thank God, Mike. Thank God you're back.
Scratch me, Mike. Please. Scratch my chest, my face. Quickly.
Why?
What? Please, I'm not kidding. I can't stand it.
Why should I help you?
Oh, for the love of God, Mike.
What did you do, Anton? Look at you. You must have done something terrible to deserve all this. What did you do?
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Confess, Anton.
Have you gone mad? I'm begging you, just for a moment. Just one scratch.
Look at you. You've lost everything you have. Your money, your love, your self-respect. You're broken, Anton. You're repulsive.
To Maggie.
Is this what you want? Is this enough? No, huh? You want more?
He turns to Anton.
All right. Do it, Anton. Confess.
Confess what?
That you hurt people.
Who, Linda? Yes, I cheated on Linda. I admit it, but why should you care?
You were using her, weren't you?
What are you talking about?
Just admit it.
What?
That you were using her to stay in this country, just the way you used Maggie.
Anton stares fixedly up at Sam.
Maggie?
Anton, who's sitting on the floor, slowly moves his plaster-clad torso around and stands up to face Sam.
I haven't told you anything about Maggie.
Sam gulps.
Who the hell are you? I'm the Milky Way man, and I know everything.
Anton punches Sam. Maggie watches as Sam tries to dodge Anton. Anton runs into a pillar.
You're killing yourself. Here, let me help.
Anton kicks Sam in the stomach and sends him flying. He then stands up and hits Sam once again. Maggie paces her apartment with a grimace. Sam calls out to her.
How's this? You enjoying the show?
Maggie watches as Anton's foot collides with Sam once more. Sam stands up and places his hands on Anton's shoulders. The two men hop about and crash through a dividing window. As Maggie runs towards the projection on the wall, a section of flooring gives way beneath her and she falls through, getting stuck halfway. She watches as Anton, on top of Sam, begins to strangle him. Anton's face is screwed up in rage as he tries to squeeze the life out of Sam. Maggie struggles to push herself up and out of the hole in the floor. Anton suddenly stops trying to strangle Sam and steps back. Maggie watches with relief as Anton collapses back, exhausted, against the wall.
Maggie was my angel. She brought me here in America. I was nothing before I met her. Just a waiter in a cafe in Paris. Yeah, I used her
I used her terribly. But I didn't think it mattered. Because I was sure that I would grow to love her. I thought if I could just love her, then it would be all right. The shame would go away. You can't choose who you love, Mike, or whoever the hell you are. And I love Linda. I love Linda.
Sam looks at Anton sadly.
More than anything.
Maggie watches the scene with tears in her eyes.
Who the hell do you think you are to judge? Who the hell do you think you are?
Nobody, Anton.
Sam.
Nobody to nobody.
Sam leaves. Maggie clambers out onto the street.
Sam! Sam!
She looks about her.
Sam!
Maggie stands in the middle of the dark street, its uneven surface glistening with a multitude of puddles. Linda opens her hotel room door to an unhappy-looking Sam.
Linda, we need to talk.
In his apartment, Anton, with some difficulty, dials 911 on his phone and lies down on the floor beside it.
Hello? Yes, please. I need to scratch my face, my chest, my back. Please. Hello? No! No, it is an emergency call. I swear. Hello, Mr. Hello.
He looks up to see Maggie striding purposefully towards him. She walks over to the bed, reaches into his pillowcase, and takes out the mushy strawberries. She then stands above Anton and holds them out to him. Anton looks at the mush in her hand, then watches as Maggie walks over to the bin and disposes of them. Maggie then puts the telephone receiver back onto its cradle before sitting down wearily beside Anton. Anton looks at Maggie a little sheepishly.
Maggie,
shh. Say we're even.
What?
Just say it.
Yeah. Yes, we are even.
Good.
She looks at him, then starts to scratch his head.
So how you been?
Oh. Yes. Oh, we. Oh, we come, sir. We.
Maggie uses both hands to scratch Anton's face. In her hotel room, Sam stands before Linda, who breaks down as she pummels him with her fists. Maggie sits on the roof of the deserted apartment block, staring up at the starry sky through a magnifying glass, a contemplative expression on her face. Linda runs into Anton's apartment. On an aeroplane, a Lassie film is being shown. A little blonde boy wearing headphones sits and watches it avidly. Next to him, in the window seat, Sam is trying to sleep. Using his coat as a pillow, he struggles to get comfortable. He frowns as he suddenly feels a lump within his coat. He reaches into its pocket and pulls out the package of photos that he took from Maggie. Sam tentatively opens the package and takes out the photographs. On top of the pile is a black and white photo of a smiling Sam and Maggie. Sam flicks through the rest of the photos. There's a picture of him holding the monkey, a picture of him kissing Maggie's cheek, and the picture of Sam and Maggie sharing a tender kiss that Nana took in the diner. Sam looks up at the film playing on the screen. Sam gazes back down at the photos, then smiles at the image of himself and Maggie kissing. His smile fades and he looks away wistfully. Maggie walks slowly through the decrepit apartment holding her kit bag and biker jacket. She puts her bag and jacket down and with her hands on her hips looks at her collage on the wall. Her gaze is drawn to a piece of paper stuck at the bottom of it. It's Sam's smile chart. Maggie's eyes fill with tears. She doesn't notice as Sam pokes his head round the corner. Maggie turns away from the collage and makes to walk off.
So I saw this episode of Lassie today. And Lassie was accused of a crime that she didn't commit. And the ranger was coming to put her to sleep.
Uh-oh. How's Lassie gonna get out of this one?
Well, the little boy found out that the ranger was coming, and he told Lassie that she had to go away, far away.
For her own good.
Yeah, but Lassie wouldn't leave. See, Lassie just couldn't leave the boy.
What did he do?
He told her that he never liked her. He said, "I hate you. I hate you, Lassie. You're a bad dog. I hope I never see you again."
It must have made Lassie sad.
Yes, it did. Lassie, she trotted off very sadly. But you know what happened? Lassie came home, Maggie.
Did the little boy make it with Lassie?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Sam and Maggie fall into a passionate embrace. Their image flits over and becomes a part of the camera obscura. The various lenses of the obscura zoom by and the couple appear superimposed onto the front of their building. Their lips locked firmly together, they both reach up and pull down a blind. Written on it in curly white letters, the end. ITFC audio description.
A body shakes, another kiss. Is that what it takes? Now you can't sleep and you can't eat. There's no doubt that you're in too deep. Your throat is tight. Another kiss is all you need. You think you're new to the stuff. Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's closer to the truth to say you can't get enough. You're gonna have to face it. You're addicted to love.